good morning. Bill Handel here on a Thursday morning, December the 2nd. And we are still raising money. Will till Sunday. The KFI Pastathon is still going on. It's 11 years. We're doing it. We help Katarina's Club, Chef Bruno's Katarina's Club, provide 25,000 meals to kids in need every week. 25,000 meals every week to kids. And so this is going on now through Sunday night. Please go to pastathon.com and donate cash. Or you can stop by any Smart and Final store for 10 bucks at the counter. That provides 14 meals to kids, courtesy of Barilla Pasta. Certainly you can donate more, and we ask you to donate more. 100% of your donation goes to Katarina's Club to help those kids, every dime. And we have two more virtual Pastathon all hours that we're doing on Instagram. John and Ken, this evening, 5 to 6 o'clock, will be doing a Pastathon hour, and it's at John and Ken Show, or KFI AM 640. And then tomorrow on this show, between 9 and 10 a.m., we're doing a live hour on Instagram at Bill Handel Show, also at KFI AM 640, which is great news. And some of the stories that we are covering, Alec Baldwin said he never pulled the trigger that killed the cinematographer and wounded the director on the set of Rust. Also, no shutdown tomorrow night. The government, Congress, or at least the House, has passed the resolution, continuing resolution, to keep the government alive and in the money, if you will. Well, in the borrowed money, if you will. Now, let's get into the Great Resignation. I love talking about employment issues. As you know, I've been an employee. I have been an employer over the years. And so I've dealt with both sides. So I look at it, and both sides suck, by the way. I understand that. It's not fun to be either one. But let's say you've decided you're part of the Great Resignation. You say, okay, I'm done. And it's happened to so many people during the pandemic, is because money was coming in and you had all those all that stimulus money come in, so you weren't starving at all. You had the and you could work. You had the time to really rethink your life. Going, you know, I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like what I'm doing. So it's time to now reflect and switch into a new career, or your job is not available, or you came in late. You know, for example, let's say you had a serving job, and it was a good job, and your restaurant filled up already, and all those positions are filled, whatever, and you decide to go in another job. A couple of caveats here. When you quit, you're not eligible for unemployment insurance. Unemployment insurance is reserved for people who have lost their job through no fault of their own, being fired and being, for example, just being laid off, furloughed. And even if you're fired for cause, which incidentally, unemployment insurance does not apply, you take it to the labor board, you always win. Employees always win. And the only way you're not going to get unemployment insurance is literally just to quit. 2 weeks notice, not required. Everybody thinks you have to have 2 weeks notice. Absolutely not. That is not in the law. And because all the employment relationships, almost all in the United States, certainly California, is it's an at-will state, which means they can fire you anytime and no one has to give notice. Now, if it turns out that the policy of the company is that they give you notice, but then no one works. I haven't looked at my my contract here with KFI in a while, and I have no idea if they have to give me notice. I don't know, Jennifer, do you know if there's a notice provision?
I don't think there's a notice provision from them, but I think from the union there is.
And when I worked at that other radio station, just one other radio station, and I don't want to mention names, KABC, and when you lost your job, there was no notice. It's not like we're going to fire you. At the end of the shift, Bill, the program director, wants to see you.
I think because of our union, there is a whole rigmarole that they have to go through. So you have to have done something. You have to go into your boss's office. They have to give you one of those.
But when they're firing, other than those, because I remember what they did is we had posters of ourselves on the board, like every radio station does, on the walls, those big portraits. And as I'm walking to the PD's office, I notice that where my poster used to be, my photograph, there was now this big square that had, in fact, because there's no light there, it was a different color. It had faded.
That's brutal.
Yeah. And I walk in and you go, okay. But they were very nice. They gave me the portrait, which I put at my house. You know, I have in my bathroom. I have in the bathroom, actually in the toilet area, I've got pictures of everything that I've been fired from. The TV show, radio show,
No, the in fact, when I'm thinking about it, when they fired us all at KGO in San Francisco, they fired us while we were on the air, or they started the firings while we were on the air. They, I think they fired like 20 people that morning.
See, that is the way to do it, because they don't want people to come back on the air and start ragging on the company.
But we knew what was going on. That's what I say. Like, they must have trusted me nobody's business not to say anything, because I knew.
They actually trusted me, even though they fired me. I said, do I get a week? He goes, yeah, I trust you. And I literally went on the air and I said, by the way, this is my last broadcast of Handle on the Law. And I didn't rag on the company.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Well, you don't want a reputation for that.
Right.
And I got fired. There is absolutely no requirement of notice unless there is a policy or you have a contract. And by the way, you do you get leave, right? Can you leave? If you work for your company more than a year, you're eligible under the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act. Only if you work for your company for more than a year. And that's for companies with more than 50 employees and workers who have logged at least 1,250 hours. So when I had my business, the Surrogacy Center, I had 25 employees. I was not under this law. So I didn't have to give maternity leave. Now, it's kind of tough in a surrogacy agency to not give maternity leave. So we gave plenty of it. But that's only because of the PR aspects, because we sort of had to. I mean, do I actually care about the employees? Of course not. But it was I couldn't take the negative publicity. Oh, by the way, if you have health care with your company, you don't have health care anymore. So you got to take that one in mind. And to switch over to a private health care plan, oh, are you going to suck it up? I mean, it is expensive. And if you, while you're looking for other health care, you can go under a COBRA plan, which is a you've lost your job and now you have this transitional period and you need bridge insurance. Yeah, wait till you get that one.
Oh, so expensive.
Oh, yeah. You've got a plan ahead. Bonuses. Do you get your bonuses? Depends. I'll give you California law. Because across the country, it's all different. So sometimes company required to be employed on the date the bonus is to be paid. You know, we get a bonus every, let's say, December 10th. Well, if you're out of here December 9th, goodbye, out of luck. I mean, that's the law. Now, California, there are two kinds of bonuses, discretionary bonuses and those that are non-discretionary. Non-discretionary bonus, every single December 10th, we give X percentage of profit. That is you're entitled to have. But if we're going to give you a bonus based on what we think you're worth and everybody else gets a very healthy bonus and you're fired the day before, you're done. How about that final pick? And good morning, everybody. Bill Handel here. On a Thursday morning, December 2, as we continue on with the show, some of the big stories we are covering. First of all, the House has already voted to continue on continuing resolution. So the government stays alive, doesn't run out of money tomorrow night. And we now have the first case of the new virus. And that was in San Francisco. Guess what? Minnesota just said, we have one too. So congratulations, the Omicron or the Omicron variants. Amazon. Now, all of us buy from Amazon. Well, a lot of us does. Certainly Jennifer Jones Lee lives on Amazon. And Amazon has always presented its marketplace as one of the biggest success story. And it's beneficial to Amazon, to sellers, to customers. But It really isn't. It's beneficial to Amazon. And these are outside businesses selling products through Amazon's platform. And there was a report that just came out from the nonprofit Institute for Local Self-Reliance and says, here's what Amazon is doing. It keeps on taking a larger and larger cut of the seller's earnings. They've become so lucrative for Amazon, they're now the most profitable segment of Amazon and the fastest growing revenue stream of Amazon. Sellers are paying very high fees. Customers are looking at inflated prices because now Amazon, remember you used to go on Amazon, it used to be the cheapest thing going. I mean, it was terrific. You get these prices. Well, let me tell you, you shop around and Amazon, if it's cheaper, it's marginally cheaper than in other places. And in many cases, it's the same price for the products or more because Amazon charges buckets of money to sellers. And the third-party sellers particularly. And I know this for a fact because, as you know, my partner Saville in the cookware import business was on Amazon for a period of time. There was revenue there. But Amazon took such a big cut of sales, it just wasn't worth it. And that is the problem with sellers. Plenty of sales. Well, maybe not. Because this is the other cool thing that Amazon does. And that is it puts people on a scale of when you come up if you're a seller. For example, you can't be on Prime at all unless you're a member of another program they have, which they charge you money for. I'm talking about the sellers. And the seller fees come from three things that Amazon does. Sales, that's a given. Fulfillment, those big warehouses where they pull product out, and ads. And a lot of their product is now drop shipped, which means that the seller, the outside seller, not Amazon, the outside seller gets Amazon to put his or her products in the warehouse and then ship it out. That is fulfillment. And of course, Amazon charges buckets of money for that. And then ads. You go up and you look at something. I bought a wok the other day, or I'm looking for a wok. So I look up wok and I see ads for woks. Well, you pay for those. And if you want to get somewhere near the top, nah, you're going to have to pay big money for that. And so where do you go if you're just on the Amazon platform? And you're not a member of Prime with their program and you are not paying for ads, you're on the other. You click through other retailers. Who clicks through other? I don't know of anybody who does. Maybe we do. Jennifer, you're on Amazon all the time.
Yeah.
Do you go beyond the first page and click other to find out what other deals are?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm also like, I'm very cheap, so I'm always looking for the cheapest thing, and is there something similar? And
okay, all right. Well, I think that you're in the minority because you're the only one I know that does that.
I'm a chronic shopper.
Yeah, and frankly, I was hoping you didn't do that to make my point even stronger, but you sort of undercut my point. Don't ever do that again.
Sorry.
Coming up, entertainment news with Mo Kelly, our Thursday segment. So don't go away. This is KFI AM 640, and let's go shopping for news people. See who the cheapest one is.
You are so bossy right now.
Jennifer, would you like to share?
Thanks.
Oh my God, the entertainment's here. Everything is suddenly amazing here. Sit back, man. Relax, man.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Bill Handel here. It is a Thursday morning, December 2nd, and we finish the show with Mo Kelly and entertainment news. And before we do that, and Mo, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Before we do that, I want to remind you for the last time on this show that our 11th annual KFI Postathon is not over, not till Sunday. And we are still collecting money, your donations, as well as collecting pasta and sauce for the Anaheim White House. And numbers right now, as of 6 a.m., $459,000 raised, over 55,000 pounds of pasta and sauce. And we have to get to last year's numbers and beat it, which were $770,000 and 100,000 pounds of pasta and sauce. So here's how you help. You donate at pastathon.com. And now through Sunday night, you can go to any Smart and Final store, and at checkout, put $10 down on the table or on your credit card or whatever, and it provides 14 meals to kids, courtesy Barilla Pasta. 100% of your donation goes to Katarina's Cup to help those kids here in Southern California. And we're doing two more virtual Pastathon hours on Instagram. Tonight or this evening, it'll be John and Ken, 5 to 6 p.m., their virtual hour. And that's at John and Ken Show on Instagram. And, of course, at KFI AM 640. Tomorrow at 9 to 10 o'clock, between 9 and 10, on this show is our virtual hour at Bill Handel Show and at KFI AM 640. Just KFI AM 640. Mo Kelly, good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you, Bill.
It was wonderful. Well, second time in a week.
I know. I mentioned that.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit tough. What Anaheim White House. We met at Anaheim White House. And the last time I saw your lovely wife was 5 years ago at the wedding.
Yes. You had a good time from what I hear.
It was the best wedding I've ever been to in my life.
Well, I appreciate that.
It was that. No, it's true. I mean, it's you just put on one hell of a wedding. I mean, it's your mom who's a choir director, right?
Yeah, my mom's a choir director.
So she brought the entire choir. And man, it was just beautiful music. It was, you don't usually get that, a whole choir. I mean, I know the Mormon Tabernacle Choir was booked, but you're
they
not.
They were.
But you're not Mormons.
Yeah, we inquired. They said, no, that's okay. We'll pass.
Yeah. So you got another choir, your mom's choir. All right. We've got some entertainment news to cover. Not so entertaining, but at least some big news. And that's the Alec Baldwin story.
Right.
Who he now says he never pulled the trigger that shot the cinematographer, killed her, and wounded the director. I mean, come on, he never pulled the trigger? That doesn't sound logical to me at all.
Well, put it this way. I am one person removed from the set, and this is information that I received even before Alec Baldwin said this. From what I understand, Alec Baldwin was rehearsing a scene, quick draw,
right,
with the director of photography and the director and so forth. We don't know specifically whether he was pointing at the time or in the process of moving. But I do know, from what I understand, that they were actually recording at that time. So there may be a video which either validates or contradicts what Alec Baldwin has to say. I have a feeling that there is a video which speaks one way or the other, and Alec Baldwin knows that. That's the only way that he would get out and say something like this, because there are other people on set who could contradict him.
Okay, so now now we're simply talking about the physical layout. So I'm assuming that the video, whatever takes place, is in front of Alec Baldwin shooting him.
Well, it's multi-cam from what I understand. Okay. So there was one from his right angle of his right temple, and one camera directly in front of him.
All right. So the question is, I thought it was just a rehearsal, but you understand they were actually
it was a rehearsal.
They were filming the rehearsal.
They were filming the rehearsal, if only because you want to see whether the angles and so forth.
All right. So then the next question is, unless you have a camera pointed directly at that weapon, and I mean a close-up, how do you tell if someone's pulled a trigger or not? I mean, it's a quarter-inch movement.
Well, it depends on the pointing of the camera, the angle of the camera. But if the gun comes out and you can see, from what I'm told, he was not pointing at any person. He was pointing at the camera.
Right.
Because they wanted to have a close-up of him supposedly shooting someone.
Exactly.
So if that is the case, then we would be able to see where his finger is placed, where his quote-unquote trigger finger is.
Okay. All right. And is the movie shut down completely?
Completely.
It's not going to be finished.
From what I see, that it's not going to be finished. There's no reason to believe that it will be finished because of all the lawsuits. I mean, I know the gaffer's already filed a lawsuit, and there are going to be a number of lawsuits, I'm quite sure, by the director of photography's family. So there's no reason to believe that this will be finished.
You would think everybody would be pushing to finish the film and release it, distribute it, just to get the money.
I don't think you can, if only because there's still a criminal investigation pending. How can you move forward?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Can they stop you?
Well, it depends. It was a limited funded project to begin with, and it was already dealing with cost overruns. So who's going to put bad money after good, as they say?
Yeah, and this was Alec Baldwin's company, too.
Right.
That was doing it. Do we know if was it his? I mean, I don't know, and maybe you have some insight. Was it his money or investors involved?
I think it was a combination of both. I think he's a co-executive producer, and he put some money into the pot. But I do know it's not solely his production. It's not his baby. It's something that he believed in.
Yeah, and he did an interview with George Stephanopoulos, and I mean, he broke down. He's pretty devastated about this, isn't he?
Well, I take it with a grain of salt.
He
is an actor. He is an actor, so I have to look at everything through that lens.
Okay.
I don't believe that he's happy or pleased or proud that he is responsible, however you want to characterize that, with the death of someone else. But it's an interview. It's put it this way. I would rather see that under oath or in an investigation room to better assess.
All right. Let's switch topics. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk about the Grammys. Because there's news there, too. We're back with Mo Kelly. Entertainment news right after talking to Jennifer Jones-Lee.
Can you hear me? I have been so good this year. And all I want is one thing. Tell me my true love is here.
Good morning, everybody. Handel here. And it's our last segment of the show. On a Thursday, December 2, Mo Kelly, entertainment news with Mo. Mo, by the way, is heard every Saturday and Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m. And on social, it's at Mr. Mo Kelly, no dot after the Mr. It's just at Mr. Mo Kelly. Mo, how many people put a dot after the Mr., do you know?
I have no idea, but it's not uncommon on Twitter.
All right, so let me ask you, does it go to you anyway?
I'm pretty sure it does, as a matter of fact.
Okay, so then I don't have to push that very much. Fair enough. Let's go back to entertainment news. And the Grammys.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, they've made a major change this year, and it's not only significant in the sense of what change was made, but the timing of the change. Their top four categories, I'm talking about Record of the Year, Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Best New Artist, they've expanded the categories from 8 to 10 nominees. Okay, that's kind of strange, but it was really strange because they made the decision the night before they announced the nominees back in November. When I worked at the Grammys, it was not uncommon. In fact, we knew who the nominees were going to be before they were announced. Part of the reason was we wanted to make sure that there weren't any issues with eligibility or something else that we might have overlooked. This smacks to me of knowing that they did not have enough star power. They know who the nominees are before they announce them, unlike the winners. So they say no one knows until the counting, you know, company opens up the envelope. Well, the nominees is not the same.
Right.
So they knew who the nominees were or are, and they made a conscious decision to say, hey, why don't we bring more people to the party? And in this case, and depending on the category, it brought names like Taylor Swift or Kanye West.
Who were not in the original 8 nominations.
Correct. Correct. And you can say, well, that's dirty. Well, no, it's just an award show.
Well, let me ask, so who does the nominating and can do it the night before and put it together by the next day?
Oh, that's a great question. They have different departments, and I worked in the awards department, responsible for the eligibility verification, the tabulation of, I would say, the nominees. They send out two ballots. The first ballot determines the nominees. The second ballot determines the winners.
Right.
The first ballot, you're just basically taking back in the day, it was the top five vote getters. Then they expanded for the top four categories, the top 8 vote getters. You have a list of all those names
right.
of an artist.
And oh, now I see.
Yeah.
So they just go to that list and grab number 9 and 10.
Correct.
Okay. Now, thinking of Kanye West or just, yeah, now. It's just fascinating the way they do that. Or like a Taylor Swift to come in 9 or 10. I mean, these are perennials. They're always in the top, aren't they?
But see, the difference is if they get nominated, they have a nomination base within their company, like Universal Music Group, or just their friends and so forth who are voting members. Now you have the option to vote for Taylor Swift. That fundamentally changes any category, even if she were not thought of to be a winner in that year. You put her into the category, there's a voting electorate which is going to vote for her no matter what,
right?
Because all the Universal Music people are going to vote for Universal Music
all artists. Right, so when do the Grammys award actually occur?
January 31st this year.
So there's plenty of time between that. How much inside shenanigans occur at the Grammys?
When I was there, there was a fair amount. When I was there, the president was C. Michael Green, and there were issues of Me Too before there was even Me Too. There were questions about how the money was being used and misused as far as appropriation. And if you look at the history, there's always been a degree of controversy with just the nominations, just who wins and whether they're out of touch, whether they're determining the categorization of music correctly. There's always been controversy.
So I'm sorry. So let me ask this. Is there anywhere near the racial component at the Grammys that there were in the Oscars? I mean, that was enormous.
It's different if only because the Grammys, there are more categories. There are 86 categories. You have explicitly categories which explicitly speak to people of color, be it like R&B or rap music and so forth, where you don't have that with the Oscars. And so the Grammys have been able to avoid some of those controversies. Where they get in trouble is you have the voters who may not be in touch and they vote for best rap album and they say Macklemore, who's a white rapper who did not have any real cachet within the hip-hop community, was more a pop phenomenon. That's where they get in trouble.
Okay, so it's not a question of, well, only having whites or blacks or Latinos. By the way, do they segregate best Latino album they have, right?
Yes. They've had, like, best Tejano album. They've had various type categories. They have a full Latin Grammys, as a matter of fact. So there are categories which speak to specific ethnic derivations. They have a world music category, gospel music, traditional gospel.
Okay. Classical music, I'm assuming.
Yes,
all
they
of
do.
It. Okay,
yeah.
So there's able to be determined because there's so many categories. You don't get near the grief. Has viewership gone down?
Yes. It has consistently gone down, but that's, I've always argued, more of a function of award shows. People don't want to watch a three-hour award show about people who they get to see all the time because of social media.
Yeah.
The whole idea of them coming together and performing on stage doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, and I've always found the boring part, and I have no idea why, you know, 80 million people would watch the Oscars, because it's all about people standing up with a list and thanking people you've never heard of in your life. I want to thank the producer. I want to thank the director. I want to thank the writers. Come on. So who are these people? Nobody knows.
But 10 years ago, I should say almost 20 years ago, you didn't necessarily see a Brad Pitt. You didn't necessarily see a Robert De Niro other than at the Oscars.
Right. So you see
or in the movies.
So you see the real person.
The real person.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, Mo, as always, thank you, sir. You're up on Saturday and Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m. Every single weekend. And social handle is at Mr. Mo Kelly. Thanks, Mo.
Always a pleasure.
Have a good one. We'll catch you on the weekend. Now, before we bail out of here, a quick point. I'm doing Handle on the Law off the air for the next, well, whatever number of minutes or 40 minutes, give it a take. If you have a legal question, just get on the phone right now and call 877-520-1150. I'm going to answer the questions off the air while Gary and Shannon start the show. 877-520-1150. Marginal legal advice for marginal legal questions. And you can go up right now if you want. And I think you're going to be, Tyler, do you listen to the show? Do we know on Thursdays whether you're listening to the show on the radio, on the phone?
You're asking me if I listen to the show?
No, I know you don't listen to the show, but it's when people call.
They can hear the show on the phone.
They do hear the show on the phone when they're calling. Fair enough. That's what I wanted to know. So at least you can hear the show. So call 877-520-1150. That is the number to call for marginal legal advice off the air. Well, I'm back again tomorrow, and tomorrow it's going to be our virtual pasta-thon hour from 9 to 10 o'clock. And you can just go to at Bill Handel Show. And tonight from 5 to 6, John and Ken with their virtual pasta-thon hour. And that's at John and Ken Show. That's on Instagram. So Gary and Shannon up next. I'll catch you again tomorrow morning. It starts with Wake Up Call with Jennifer. This is KFI AM 640 Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.